accomplish a vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old, even thine estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it be a female, then thine estimation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thine estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if it be from 60 years old and upward, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he be poorer than thine estimation, then he shall set before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to the ability of him that vowed shall the priest value him. That's all for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all of the Word of God. Thy Son himself has spoken about the weightier matters of the law, that some things are weightier than others, and yet thy Son said that not one jot or tittle would fail until all was accomplished, as thou hast told us, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and you have told us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We believe this, our God. And we would not pass over some of the less weighty matters of the law, because thou hast seen fit to place them in thy word, that all these matters might be considered, and the relative value of things. We are thankful that thou dost give us such an evaluation. We confess, our God, that men look upon things so differently from yourself. And so we thank you for the way that you looked at things long ago for men then, and the way that you look at things now. That was spoken about, the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, our Father, we thank you for the development of your creatures from the beginning until Christ and even until now. And we pray that thy Spirit, who is unchangeable, shall illumine us and guide us into all the truth. We would thank you for the blessing that we have enjoyed this day. We have been with the people of God. We have remembered your Son. We have sung to your praise, and thy lambs and thy sheep have been fed. And we would desire that this be our portion again tonight. Our God, we would have us to be spiritually fat. We would have us to be those that are well fed from the Scriptures, to be grounded in them. So, by thy Spirit, teach us and prepare hearts and empower lips, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because you have promised to do that. We commit all into thy hands. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. There are times when a preacher can tell the congregation too much, and there are times when the congregation can listen too carefully. I remember years ago, it must have been about 4 years ago, that I was mentioning to some people the various ages that I read you about in Leviticus chapter 27, telling that when a child, a month old to 5 years of age, was born, his worth, when he was vowed to the Lord, was 5 shillings, and man in his prime was from 20 to 60 years of age. He was worth 50 shekels of silver. And then I went too far and read that if the man is over 60 years, if he's 60 and upward, then your estimation shall be 15 shekels. And I was just mentioning this in passing, telling them about the relative value of things. And then the treasurer came up to me and he said, John Mills, you told me that you're past 60 now, didn't you? Yes. He said, and didn't you just tell us that when a man passed 60, that his worth was reduced from 50 shekels to 15 shekels? I said, yes. He said, well, I'm going to have to speak to the elders about reducing the amount of money we give you for preaching. Now, that is the time that a man has told the congregation too much, and they have listened too carefully. And so I perhaps said, well, that's the Old Testament. We're not under law, but we are under grace. He said, yes, but there are principles involved there. And so I could not help but laugh, and to tell you the good part about it, they didn't reduce the wages that they were giving to me, but he had every right, and God has told us, and this is God who is giving these evaluations, that a man's worth varies at different age periods of his life, and his worth varies according to age and according to sex. Now, this is what must be settled. If we believe we have a revelation from God, we shall seriously consider the things like the ones I've read you tonight. However, if this is the word of man, we shall disregard it. Here is man in his ignorance, distinguishing between the worth of a woman and a man, and thinking that someone is worth more in his maturity than in his youth and in his old age, we can set these things aside. Or, if we accept this as it is from God, we shall at least consider the principles involved and understand that there is a period of growth in a man's worth, and there are ages in the life of man. And God has seen fit in this chapter to speak about one from a month old unto 5 years of age, and then from 5 to 20, and then from 20 to 60, and then from 60 upward. God is he who breaks it down in these categories. It is interesting, and here is what you find, that there is the redemption of the firstborn, and there is also the ransom money that was paid when the census was taken. And when the census was taken, they didn't have to pay the half shekel until a man was 20 years of age. But when it was the redemption of the firstborn, it was when he was a month of age. So God tells us that there are different times in our lives when certain responsibilities are to be fulfilled, and if it's the case of a firstborn, the parents would have to pay the money for the redemption of the firstborn, 5 shekels of silver. But if by the time a man had reached 20 years of age, then he would be capable of giving a half shekel of silver. So think of that. If Moses and the priests were out to get all the money they could, then they could demand 5 shekels of silver when the children of Israel were numbered. But God says, no, a half shekel of silver when the people are numbered. And at the same time, if with the redemption of the firstborn, God could say a half shekel rather than 5 shekels. But God has his reasons for stipulating a price or the numbering of the people. and a price for the redemption of the firstborn. So believing God's word to be what it is, what our Savior accepted it to be, and he said not one jot or tittle would pass away. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Believing this, whatever the words meant for Israel then, the principles involved are pertinent to us. They are relevant today as well. But what has happened is this, that I do not believe that there is any growing up among children today. It seems as if at the age of 5, that the children are as wise and advanced in worldly wisdom than when I was in my teens. And as for anyone being from 5 to 20, why, most of their lives are lived, and what is sad is that they look over life and there is nothing else to be attained, and for that reason they are ready to cast themselves upon drug addiction, ready to commit suicide. Why? Because there are no stages in life through which men must pass, through which there is an apprenticeship, and then when they reach a certain age, they understand their worth, and having served so long in the prime of life, they understand that their prime has been attained and passed, and that God has something else for them to do. But I'm afraid that most of us do not look at life that way. Youth want everything now, and they think they're as invaluable in their youth as adults are and others are in their maturity, in their prime. But God says no. The Bible says this about youth. It's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. Now, who likes to hear that? Young people don't like to hear it, but God says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. I venture to say it was an old man who said that. Why? Because he was one who disliked the yoke in his youth, but he was young and had grown old and looked back upon life, and he said it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And this is what David said. He said, I have been young and am old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But what happens is this. You get all of these young starlets and dignitaries and important people of the world, and they will put them on talk shows, and they're answering all the problems of the world, giving you the solutions, the things that wise men are not able to answer, and yet they will come and tell you the answer to all of these things, whereas God says, you are not even permitted to work among the things associated with my tabernacle until you are 30 years of age, and under certain conditions, 25 years of age. But now, why, we start them at such an early age that there is nothing to look forward to. And it's the same with the singers. I have listened, and this is what is so sad, I've listened to those who have great voices today, and their voices are gone. They have no beauty to their voices anymore. The reason is that they are using their voices too often, and they are singing too loudly, and because of that, their voices are destroyed. Whereas, I remember, years ago, I was in Canada, and I heard a very famous baritone. You young people, and the rest of you might not know him, but his name was Giuseppe De Luca. He sang with Caruso. And this man was in his 70s, and he was on the stage singing, and he could still thrill you with the way that he was able to get over a song. I heard Tito Skipa in Detroit, Michigan. He was in his 70s, and yet he was there singing. His voice was not the way it had been before, but they were able to sing for 50 or 60 years. And now people's voices are gone. The wear and tear is shown when they're 40 years of age. Why? Because they do not train properly. They do not understand that a man can only do so much, And because of that, the gift that God has given is worn out, and still they try to go on. This is the sad thing. But in the scriptures, God says this is not the way it's going to be. Here is a development from a month old to the age of 5, and another development from 5 to 20, and then from 20 to 50, and after that. And so God recognizes the ability of a man in his prime, and he says that his worth to me is so much at a certain period of his life. So, 4 years ago, I was evaluated at 50 shekels of silver, but now I am evaluated at 15 shekels of silver. And yet I'm going to accept this from God, because Paul and all other men who face reality acknowledge it. I remember when I was visiting a relative that I'd never seen before, and I went back again and again, and finally when the relative was there, and this was 10 years ago, when I was just 54 years old, I went in and I said, "Did someone tell you I'd come by?" "Yes," I said, "and how did they describe me?" They said, "an old gray-haired man," and I was just in my 50s at that time. And so then I go and look in the mirror, and I say, "Yes, an old gray-haired man." And I do not try to change the color of my hair, nor deceive myself into believing that I am less than almost 64 years of age. You accept those things. And you accept what God says in His Word, that you work in certain areas for so many years, and after that, you step down. You pass your prime. And I remember that one who knew these things spoke about the great singers in the past, that they would sing, and then they would be in their prime from 30 to 50 years of age, and then before the beauty and the grandeur of their voices would pass, they would retire, and then they would start teaching singing. But now, as long as anyone is able to get out any sort of sound from the throat, they continue to sing. But God says this principle in Scripture is that, yes, perhaps they can still do these things, but they do not do them the way that I want them to. And I want you to understand that, as Paul said, our outward man is perishing. And I told others this, that I am now, and I can be addressed as John the Aged, because if you calculate about the age of Paul when he wrote to Philemon, he speaks of himself as Paul the Aged, and he was some 60 years of age. And so for that reason, if someone calls you Paul the Aged or John the Aged and you're 60 years of age, it may be because Paul was willing to spend and be spent, and his life had been so completely burnt up for the Lord. It may have been that. However it may have been, that was the way that it was. And I remember how quickly children catch on, and I can't forget this. When children come and the parents want them to be respectful to you, rather than call me Mr. Mills, I said, "Call me Old Uncle John." And the little children said yes. And I was with some children, and they were over by themselves, and they said, Old Mills was talking to us." And I said, "Not Old Mills, Old Uncle John." But the children caught on too quickly, and we catch on too late, that we grow old, and God wants us to acknowledge it. And here is why it must be acknowledged, because we are endangered if we fail to realize and acknowledge that our outward man is perishing. So turn to 2 Samuel now, chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21. Verse 15. "And the Philistines had war again with Israel, And David went down, and his servants with him. And they fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, who was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the lamp of Israel. Now, think of this. Here is David, and as a youth, he had been trained of God to a certain ability in his life. Before he went and fought Goliath, he had practiced with his slingshot, and he had been able to destroy the lion and the bear. And it was not that an untrained youth went to combat Goliath. And so when he went and told King Saul, let me go fight this giant, Saul said, you can't fight this giant. You are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said, I've been trained by God. I have been through the experience of fighting lions and bears and caring for the flock of God, and now I'm able to destroy this giant. And thank God. And notice that some periods of apprenticeship are shorter than others, and so this youth had his ability with a slingshot to go and destroy the giant. And he did. And he did it with all the simplicity and modesty of a youth. And it thrilled the heart of Saul and the nation of Israel, and especially Jonathan. And Jonathan became his friend that day. And David, who had begun to kill giants in his youth, continued to slay men. When King Saul said, you can have my daughter if you bring me 100 foreskins of the Philistines, David went out and slew 200 Philistines. And so now, here is David, an older man, and he thinks that if I have killed Goliath the father, then I can kill one of his descendants. But what happened was that David now was an old man, and he grew faint. And you may not know it, but Abishai was one of his nephews, and he came out and he succored David, and he was the one who destroyed the man who would have destroyed David. And whereas David would not make this decision for himself, the nation of Israel did it for him. Listen to them. It says, Thou shalt no more go out with us to battle. Thou shalt not quench the lamp of Israel. All right. Whereas David was willing to go and risk his life, he had to face reality that he no longer had the cunning, the strength, the endurance that he had as a younger man. And as God says, from 20 to 50, and instead of turning to it, you will discover that those who worked among the tabernacle, you will find that God says that at 50 they cease from the warfare. God said, you can't work anymore. You can't do the same thing that you've done before. You may come and assist those, but you cannot do the same work that you've done from this age to this age. At the age of 50, it is the cutoff point, and you are not put out of work, but you do a different type of work. And I told you how singers, they, instead of continuing to sing, even though in their old age, they could out-sing some of the younger ones, God said, no, I know you can still do it, you still have strength, but what we want is for some of these who are younger now to do the work that you did in the past. Now, you assist them. You give them the refinement. You give them the points of interest in the way that you did these things in the past, but you let them do it. You just assist them. So, it's the same way with those who preach and they fail to understand that they are no longer able to preach as they did in their youth. And I had better remember this, but I am still able to quit on time. But there are some who have never learned that. There are some who in their prime are not able to do it. But I remember seeing this when I was preaching with a man who was about 90 years of age. And the old man was feeble and his voice was gone, but he was preaching with two other men at that time. And these other men stood up and they did their preaching, and it was acceptable. But when this man stood up, even though he was 90 years of age, for a little portion of his preaching, his former excellency came out, and I marveled, and I understood why at that time when I asked him, did you ever know James M. Gray, head of Moody Bible Institute? He said that I know him. I used to preach with him. All of these people that we would be honored even to have known, he used to preach with them. And I understood that the man was a giant. But then he got off his point. He kept on and on. And so for a moment there was a little glimpse of what he could do in the past. But then I understood that God said when you are 50, you are to be set aside and you are to be treated not as one in his prime, but as one who has served God faithfully, and now you are to retire and to assist others. And I remember this dear brother, and I can't forget it. I asked him on one occasion, I said, will you share the meeting with me? Will you speak with me? He said, no. He said, but what I'll do is to give out a hymn. And the man took 20 to 30 minutes in giving out a hymn, and he took more time than I wanted to take had he preached with me. And so this man had just lost his ability on facing reality that people today will only listen to preaching for so long a time. So what God is teaching us in these principles in the Old Testament is this. There are periods of time when we can serve God. After that, we do not cease serving God, but we serve Him in a different capacity. And this is what I've enjoyed so much later, so much of late. That is helping younger men. I've always enjoyed it. But I have people to phone me on the telephone, come from miles and miles around. When I'm in different cities, they will come and we will sit down and study by the hour. I recall that a few weeks back when David Harper was here, he came and there were three other men, as I recall, two or three other men, and we studied the whole day long. We had a little break for lunch, and then we studied from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, on and on. And finally, the session came to an end, and we went our way. So I was able to do that, but I would not think of standing up and preaching. I like to preach 30 or 40 minutes. That's all the people can take. Whether or not it is, it's all that I want to give. And so God is teaching us these things. And He says, our worth is such and such. So if we learn these things, we can understand our relative value at different times in life. Here are those with promise. And this is what I've seen. I've seen young men with promise, but they're not in their prime. And I have discovered that God will not yet let a young man outdo an older man in the area of preaching. And I also saw it in the area of singing. I remember that Pavarotti was putting on a Verdi opera, the Masked Ball, and he surrounded himself with all of these young singers, all of them ever so proficient. And every one of them was correct. They sang all the words correctly. They sang all the notes correctly. But something was missing. And when Pavarotti, in his maturity, stood and sang, there was just something that he possessed that was lacking in these young people. And yet, you could not fault what they did, but they were young people. And in like manner, I've heard young men preach, and I've laughed because God will not let young people embarrass old people if these older preachers are reverent and dependent upon God, because God only lets young people preach so well. I found that. I've heard young men. And just as when I was a young man years ago, I remember what A.P. Gibbs' brother, Edwin Gibbs, said about me. Others said, John Mills is a good preacher. And he said, yes, but he is a young man. He understood. So in your youth, you see that there is promise, but God lets that gift develop. And so we have to wait. So when a young man starts singing, he has to wait until he gets the years. It's like young people standing up and they're singing about death. They are not prepared to sing of those things yet. They are not prepared to speak of those things yet. But then, after they have the experience, then as it says in 2 Corinthians, it says that God allows those that have had these experiences of sorrow and heartbreak, He allows them to have them, that they in turn may give comfort to those who are for the first time in their life, experiencing that sorrow and heartbreak. So, what is the message of God? It is this, that we are to patiently wait, and if we patiently wait, then we shall reach 5 years of age. As when I see children and they're not able to walk, and then they start to walk, and they're not able to talk, and they start to talk, and they can understand more, and then from 5 to 20, that is another period of development. And then from 20 to 50, yes, they get better and better, and then they reach their prime, and perhaps they retain their prime, but God says, now use it in a different way. And our Savior had the same experience. It says in Luke 2:52 that when our Savior was 12 years old, that he was obedient to his parents, and he went down to Nazareth, and he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Consider that a moment. He increased in wisdom, that is mentally, in stature, that is physically, and the word is in grace with God, that is spiritually, and man, that is socially. And so in life, a man develops mentally and physically and spiritually and socially. But what happens is that there is a lack of development, a lack of balance in a man's life, just as some reach maturity in their bodies at a certain age, but their minds have not yet attained to the maturity of their body, and there is that imbalance. And God says, this man is the way. So there are periods of patience in a man's life. As our blessed Savior, he waited until he was 30 years of age before he publicly came forth to the nation of Israel. Think of this. In a town called Nazareth, in obscurity, having to go to the synagogue Sabbath after Sabbath and listen to those boring rabbis and all of those that could stand up and read and expound the Word of God, when this brilliant man was there and he kept his mouth shut and he endured it for 30 years, and you say, how intolerable. It was his father's will that in the insignificant city of Nazareth he remained there until he was 30 years of age, and then he was prepared to face the nation of Israel. And when he came upon the scene, he was prepared and he could face Satan in temptation in the wilderness. And then he could go and face the nation of Israel that was prepared to stone him, the first message that he gave. All of these things God is telling us. So here we are. What age are we? Well, if it's the age before 20, then let us patiently wait. If it's the age of 20 to 50, then let us serve God diligently and fervently, and let us listen to the exhortations of old men like Paul. Paul says, the end of the course has come for me. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says, now, Timothy, I want you to take over. I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I am passing on the light to you. Now, I want you to carry on. You are in this age from 20 to 50, whereas I am Paul the aged. And this is what God wants. And so he wants those that are young to have respect for the older ones, to obey those that have the rule over you. Children are to honor their father and mother, and the young are to respect the old. Paul says, you look upon the younger men as brethren, the younger women as sisters, the older men as fathers, the older women as mothers. You see the different relationships that we have, and God expects all of these things to be carried out. And then when Paul is through at the age of 50, applying these principles, then Timothy comes and he does the work, and Paul assists him as he does in his first epistle and in his second epistle. So how old are we? Are we not yet mature? Then have patience. And have we served God? Then let us step aside and let those who have strength greater than we, let them do the work, and let us assist them in any way that we can, and then we shall be pleasing and obedient to God. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that since sin has come into the world, you have laid out the ages of man and shown us that there is a period of growth and development and waiting, and then a long period of service, and then another period of service in the sunset of our lives. We are thankful, Father, that we can serve Thee at all times in some capacity. So let us realize where we are in the age of life, and let us bring glory to Thee. We thank You, Father, that Thy Son was willing to accept the patience and then to serve Thee with vigor throughout all the years that You gave Him on earth. And let us do it as well. And let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Bless us and help us to be obedient children and servants of Thine, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.